Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
After the death of Joseph, as recorded at the end of Genesis in the first book of the Bible, a new king came to the throne of Egypt. This king didn't know Joseph and was alarmed at the huge growth of Israelites living in Egypt. He saw that Egypt needed the Israelite workers because they brought prosperity to the country, but they'd become so numerous that they were now also a security risk. If war broke out, the Israelites might fight against the Egyptians and not on their side. Ever since Jacob came to Egypt, the cultured Egyptians didn't favor associating with the Hebrews as they were herdsmen. Now the new Pharaoh was afraid of the Israelites and decided to oppress them by making them slave laborers. But the more he made life difficult for the Israelites, the more God multiplied them. This result happened over and over again in history. When evil rulers try to persecute God's people, they become stronger and greater. No ruler, government, or army can destroy what God has chosen to preserve and establish. When the king of Egypt saw that the numbers of Israelites continued to increase, he settled on a cruel new plan. He demanded that the midwives in Goshen kill all the newborn Hebrew baby boys. But because the midwives feared God, they didn't obey that command, and the king soon realized this. He called them to account, and they made the excuse that the Israelite women were physically fitter than the Egyptian women and would give birth to their sons before the midwives arrived. This may not have been the full truth, but God blessed the midwives for saving the babies' lives and gave them children of their own. The frustrated king then ordered all his people to do the killing of male Hebrew babies by throwing them into the Nile River.
While Pharaoh's terrible decree that all male children born to the Hebrews were to be killed was in full force, a man named Amram and his wife Jochebed, both Hebrews of the tribe of Levi, had reason to be troubled.
We're going to have another baby.
Oh, how wonderful. I really don't understand why you're so upset.
No, but don't you see? If it's a boy, Pharaoh will have him killed.
When the child was born, it was a boy. And Pharaoh's dreadful decree had not been revoked. All boy babies born under the Hebrews must be slain. Amram and Jochebed could not bear to think of their little son being killed, so they kept him hidden inside the house in the hope of saving his life. 3 months went by.
We must place the baby in God's hands and let him decide his fate.
I don't understand.
But we'll build him a little ark of bulrushes. We'll make it watertight with pitch and clay.
But we'll take
him down to the edge of the river and put him in the ark.
You mean put the baby in the river?
That way he'll be in God's hands. Only God can save him.
So Jochebed built a little ark for the baby. And one morning, very early, before anyone was about, she and her younger daughter, Miriam, placed the ark among the bulrushes near the river's bank and laid the little baby boy in it. Heartbroken and deeply unhappy, Jochebed returned to her home. But Miriam stayed behind and, from a safe hiding place, watched to see that no harm came to the baby. Before very long, the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, attended by her maidens.
Oh, look, princess. Out there in the bulrushes, see? A basket.
Oh, go see what's in it.
All right. Oh, it's a baby boy, Your Highness.
Oh, isn't he cute? This baby's been abandoned. I'm going to adopt him, bring him up as my own little boy.
Oh, Your Highness, but what about your father's decree condemning all Hebrew boy babies to death?
A dreadful decree. It forced some poor mother to leave this child here on the river rather than see him killed. How I wish my father would have a change of heart. Little girl, come here. Do you know of any woman who would nurse this baby for me?
For you?
I shall adopt him.
Oh, Princess, I do happen to know a woman.
Bring her to me.
In this way, God saved the infant Moses and preserved him for the great task that lay ahead many years hence.
The Bible book of Exodus follows straight on from the book of Genesis, and both these books are part of the group of five books written or edited by Moses. Exodus gives an account of when the Israelite people were oppressed by the ruler of Egypt, and each succeeding ruler seemed to get worse in his cruel treatment of them. The Egyptian taskmasters made the lives of the Israelites miserable, but still their numbers continued to grow. And as the Israelites spread out across Egypt, they learned about the Egyptian gods and many started worshipping them. The Egyptians worshipped objects of nature such as the sun and the Nile River for bringing melted snow flooding into the fertile plains of the Nile riverbanks each year. In Joshua chapter 24, Joshua counseled the Israelites as they were settling into the promised land to honor the Lord and serve him sincerely and faithfully. Get rid of the gods which your ancestors used to worship in Mesopotamia and in Egypt and serve the Lord. However, not all the Israelites had abandoned the one true God for the idols of Egypt. The most important grandson of Levi was called Amram, and he married his aunt named Jochebed. They had a son named Aaron and a daughter named Miriam before it was decreed that all Israelite baby boys were to be killed. Amram and Jochebed were true worshippers of the Creator God. When their next baby was born, Jochebed could see that he was no ordinary child, but a special child in God's sight. So Jochebed hid her baby in her house for as long as possible before making a desperate plan to save her child's life if she could. That plan had almost no hope of succeeding on its own, but God intervened and it did. Moses came from a family who stood for the Lord and walked with him. And in the same way, those who are open to serving God in their Christian life will often have to go against the common ways of their local community. We should expect to be different from those around us. You may have to stand up to be true to the Lord when most others aren't. Those who are strong in the Lord are the kind of people that God often uses as parents of people who grow up faithful to him. Why didn't all the Israelites in Egypt stay true to the Lord their God? How did they drift away from him, just like some Christians who drift away from the Lord these days? One reason is excessive busyness. One of Satan's greatest weapons against our generation seems to be his ability to make good people busier than ever before. We so often sacrifice the best things in life by spending time doing the things that seem fine and useful, but are actually not helping us to walk faithfully with our Lord or extend his kingdom on earth. If we desire to walk closely with God, we need by necessity to cut out some of the activities eating up our time so we can spend more hours in prayer, reading the Bible, singing spiritual songs, and learning from godly Christian books. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says to be careful how we live and to make good use of every opportunity we have, because these are evil days, when life's clouds grow dark and our trials become fierce. That's the time to run to Jesus and not from him. Christians can drift away from God because they think they need to work harder and longer to grow a larger retirement fund. Those with their minds filled with money matters don't always seem interested in anything else, and wealth can become their substitute God instead. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 it says, "For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." Some people begin to drift away from God because they have sins in their lives that cause them to feel guilt when they show up at church. Or they feel reluctant to pray or read their Bible when they know that they have unresolved issues in their lives. The solution for these people is not to drift away from God, but rather to confess their sins to God and ask for his help to turn away and overcome them in the power of the Holy Spirit. God is willing to restore you and make you whole again. Call out to God before you lose all sense of spiritual direction. In Hebrews chapter 12 it says, "Therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Ever since the Israelites were badly oppressed in Egypt, there have been waves of persecution against other people groups, particularly for Jews and Christians in different parts of the world. And in many places, things aren't getting better. Persecution for some is life-threatening, and Christians are martyred every day for refusing to bow down to someone demanding that they must turn from their faith in God. More Christians were martyred in the 20th century than all other previous centuries combined. 70% of the world's population currently lives in a religiously intolerant society. But the Lord Jesus predicted in Matthew chapter 24 that Christians would be hated in all nations before his return. Why do non-Christians hate Christians? The simple answer is that Satan hates God and his goodness. An evil heart hates being shown up as evil if it's not ready to repent. And this situation will remain until God himself changes things on earth. But in some countries, hate is too strong a word and Christians may not lose their lives. Non-Christians, however, don't see any benefit from being a Christian, so they're indifferent to Christian things. A man named Tertullian converted to Christianity around 200 AD, and this was his explanation about Christianity in the face of persecutors. "We multiply whenever we are mown down by you. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. We are to stay faithful to God. We know that in any circumstance, God is able to deliver us if he chooses to do so. He may choose to take us directly to heaven instead of delivering us, or he may allow us to go through difficult, lengthy trials. Our duty is to stay faithful to God, no matter the difficulties that we face. We know that doing so may mean death or persecution, but we also know that this might result in a miracle for us. We don't know what God's particular plan is for our lives or how he'll resolve our trials, but we can trust him in all things. In Psalm 118 it says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to depend on human leaders. The root cause of persecution is spiritual and not just one's beliefs. Satan hates both the nation Israel, the Jews, and spiritual Israel, the Christian church. In fact, he wages war against both Jews and believers in Christ, and he's still the ruler of this world until Christ comes in power and might. He uses the world through humanistic laws or extremists of other religions to carry out his plans. But Jesus saw such hatred as an opportunity to turn things into good. Just as his undeserved death on the cross is still a powerful witness of love, truth, and grace to all people today, so it remains when believers are persecuted. Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, "It will lead to an opportunity for your testimony." Like Christ, a believer in him who suffers unwarranted mistreatment for their faith gives a powerful message that their beliefs are worth suffering for. They are solid. Belief in God and his realness is true. God's presence is reality for those who truly seek him. This is evidenced when believers are arrested and brought before councils and courts. At these times, the Bible says these Christians will be given supernatural speech and wisdom in the power of the Holy Spirit to confound their accusers. Those Christians who are not experiencing a major persecution at the present time are reminded of the need to pray for those who are suffering because they're Christians, no matter where they might live on earth. In Hebrews chapter 13 it says, "Keep on loving one another as Christians. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them." The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound, bibleradio.org.au. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.